Perfect, we're recording.
Call the November 8th Occupational Therapy Examiners meeting to order at 1:34. We'll do a quick roll call. Quentin McAllister, present.
Barbara Paulson, present.
Charlene Marks, present.
Item number three, are there any declarations of conflict of interest? If not.
I have none.
I have none.
Excellent. Item number four, approve regular session and special session meeting minutes for September the 13th and 16th, respectively. I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve those meeting minutes if there's no corrections or adjustments.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries 3-0. Number five, future board dates. Does it look good for everybody?
Good for me.
Good for me.
Moving on to item six. 6B, Lauren Larson. And that's a reinstatement, and it looks like she has practiced with an expired license. So I'll open that up for discussion. It looks like 34 days.
It looks like it was received through our e-license portal on November 4th.
Okay. So, in a way, she was intending on continuing to practice.
Oh, wait. Just a moment. I am incorrect in that. That was the wrong document that I was looking at.
Without a license, so I think it would behoove us to have a conversation.
And you don't want to issue the license until December?
No, that's not what I said.
Okay. I thought you said...
No, so then we can go ahead and approve the license letter and open a complaint to move forward. So I'll make a motion to approve the license and open a complaint. Second.
Do those in one motion? Okay. I would gladly second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Sorry, I have a question. So the approval allows her to go ahead and practice now?
Correct.
Okay.
I don't think that, her license is expired. It's not like she lost the education, so I don't think it dictates us holding her up to continue to work. However, I think that we should look into, find out the details of this further. Does that make sense?
Yes and no.
Okay. Please feel free to further articulate your thoughts.
I'd rather not approve the license to hear what happened. To hear from her what happened for that time period. It seems to be a long time period.
Sometimes it's shared, it's the only OT they may have, or... I mean, I talked to so many applicants, it's just hard to remember.
I definitely see your perspective. And well, if this was something that wouldn't require suspension or a more serious offense, no, it's definitely breaking our statutes, but the clients she's seeing aren't. I feel like this is more of a technicality than a clinical danger. So that's why I'm willing to go ahead and license it over the complaint so we can. The penalty wouldn't dictate suspension or loss of income for like another month. Even if we could, I don't know if the timeline allows for the proper notification for the next meeting also. Mm-hmm. But that would be my justification for not approving license versus Barbara?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, there could be a new hardship on her for not having her license approved for a short period of time, so I'm okay with approving it.
Is there any other discussion? So again, the motion is to approve her license and open a complaint to find out the details of the reason why she practiced without a license. Do you have a second?
I will second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Roll. We'll do a roll call of his.
Right.
Quentin Counselor, aye.
Barbara Paulson, aye.
Charlene Marbs, nay.
Motion passes 2-1. So we have the same thing on 6B, and that is practicing without a license. It looks like for a bit shorter of a period of about 2 weeks. And I didn't see anything other than the dates treated. So she, do we have any information on that case as well?
That's the same one.
No, it's the same last name, but it's a
Stephanie Larson.
So when we get, so is this from the automated system, or like how can we improve the information we get?
I'm going to have to, Mr. Sheriff, start making notes in where we have notes where they upload their application letter as to when I talk to them. I process it and then put it on for more review without putting my conversation. And I cannot remember all the conversations, sure. I've had so many, but that is something I'm going to have to do is make my note. As we have one now that I'm asked to start putting notes in. But I'm trying to remember this one. Is this the one who called?
She called both of us. And I seem to recall there was some kind of a medical issue.
Yes. And she had called Ms. Whiteford about renewing and was unable to renew. But the following day, she called me asking the same thing, how to renew, to reinstate her license. And she had been ill, a cold, flu. There was something where she stated she was out of work. But then when asked if she provided services with her, I do remember her stating could have been a day. And then when I stated that I needed the name of her employer because she provided her, she says she's self-contracted. I said I needed where she works. I need the telephone number, and she stated then when I stated I will verify her providing services, then she stated she provided more than one day. And I asked for a statement, and this is what she provided.
And can you clarify for me, did her license expire on 10-9? Is that the...
Yes. Yeah,
her license expired on October 8th.
Okay.
And I did call Brighter Avenue, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And spoke with the gentleman there. His name was Chase, to verify the dates and the clients seen. And he did verify, I'm trying to find the note, I'm sorry, that it was six clients, not three. So when I went over the days with him and clients, he called me back to that. Yes.
Okay. So for clarification, on 10-16, the three were cancellations?
Correct. So she did not see the clients.
And then on 10-17, was there?
Yeah, I believe it's 10-22. There were six clients seen, not three.
So it's technically the same number,
yes.
Just on a different day. Okay.
But it's just, I did call to verify.
I'd be inclined to do pretty much the same thing of opening this company up for the license.
You know, this is tough when you don't have the full story. but I can see doing the same thing, and definitely offering a complaint to get the full story, get their story.
Do I hear a motion?
I'll go ahead and make a motion. Stephanie Larson's license and to open up a complaint.
I'll second the motion. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
One nay.
Motion carries 2-1. That brings us to item 7.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, just for the recording, Ms. Marbs, could you state or explain a little bit about your name.
My name is regarding the approval of the license. We don't have enough information, I feel, and there were discrepancies in what was reported. So I feel like it, I would feel better with the approval with more information and the therapist given an opportunity to come and share with us what happened.
Okay.
Some background.
All right, thank you.
Moving on to item 7B, Shailene Johnson, and she is here to ask any other questions. Four. And if I'm following this correctly, we provided a consent agreement, and the violation of the consent agreement is patent. So we're going to be late.
It was. Ms. Johnston was supposed to provide a signed written statement stating that she had read the board's statutes and regulations by April 13th, 2019. That was not turned in on time, and the civil penalty of $250 was not paid on time, but it has been paid as of today, or a couple of weeks ago we received it.
Thank you for the clarification. I missed the letter portion. Shannon, you would come up. Was there a specific reason why you hadn't signed the updated statement?
It was just oversight on my part. I thought when I was here the first time and I had signed paperwork accepting like all the terms and everything, I thought that that was one of the things I already signed. So I thought I already turned that in.
And that was the consent agreement?
Yeah, I guess it was the natural, like, you guys, I thought it was, like, something you guys had that you wanted me to sign that I'd already signed, but you guys had actually wanted a statement written out that I had read and understood it all, so.
And I know we articulated that very clearly that we want a letter after you've written. We wouldn't.
It was my fault, yeah.
Something.
It was my fault. I didn't read it well enough, I guess, or.
Was there a reason that you had sent the civil penalty?
I was just kind of arguing employment with my license being on probation, so I didn't start working until August 16th. Or no, I'm sorry, September 16th. So I was just financially couldn't do it. So as soon as I got my job and my first paycheck, I paid it.
Karen, did she reach out and discuss this to provide potential options for that penalty?
Ms. Johnston stated in an email, and I believe I included it, yes. She said that she left a voicemail on Vicki's phone around the 14th of September, and I believe that's the date that the civil penalty was due. Yes.
I think I had called, it was shortly before the date it was due, leaving a voicemail, and then I hadn't heard back from anybody. So then I had sent an email, and that's when I heard back from somebody saying that, yeah, we got the voicemail, but you should have contacted this person
right.
Instead.
And that was me. So the email that I have here from you says, I left a voicemail on Vicki's extension about the 14th of this month to ask for a one-month extension on my $250 fine. I received this email from you on September 20th.
I was wondering if there's any corrections, yeah. So.
And actually, Vicki had forwarded your email, your voicemail to me, because she's not the one who handles the consent agreements.
We had some miscommunication here. So now you understand. If you have any questions or issues, that it would go to
Karen.
Okay. What? And you've got all that information.
Yeah.
Not only that, the board would have to make that decision. Anyway, so.
I'm sorry.
there a reason you didn't call before or try to make contact before that date?
I'm just, I guess, just again, just oversight. I just oversight. I was just trying to get a job. I've been doing a lot. I was here prior to that, too, because I had gotten in some trouble. I've been in recovery for a long time and just doing tons of counseling and therapy, stuff with my kids. My son just had a friend pass away. I'm dealing with a 16-year-old who's also got addiction problems. Like, I've just been dealing with a lot. So, that's all.
So, Ms. Johnson, are you clear on everything that you still need to do?
Yeah, I've got to still do my hours, my CEUs. That I've got to have my extra additional hours when I apply.
And you know those dates and all.
I'm sorry, you said you got into some trouble?
Well, when I come here the first time with you guys, because I had gotten arrested.
Right.
And so that was my first appearance with you guys. And that's, yeah. So you guys brought me in, and that complaint was opened because of that. So that was the very first appearance I came.
But that's, I feel like that's pretext to what we're talking about now.
I know, but she asked me why, and that's just like, I've been for 2 years just trying to get my life together and straighten back out, so.
Which continuing ed credits have you not finished?
They wanted extra, like, I don't have any, I haven't, like, I don't understand your question, I'm sorry.
You said that you still had some continuing education credits to complete. Which ones do you have to complete?
Just the ones that they ordered for me to have by the next time my license is up for renewal.
That's right.
I think that's the Medicare.
Yeah,
like the ethics.
Regulations and billing.
So it's 12 hours of continuing education, six in ethics, and six in Medicare regulation and billing, and they're not due until, I want to say, March 2020.
Okay. And for the record, to clarify, that date is not tied to the renewal date.
Right.
It's a set date of March 14th, I believe, 2020.
Correct. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So that'll be need documentation of that before you come. Okay.
So this will be your focus for continuing ed, not your regular 12 hours for renewal. I would make the assumption. I don't know where the dates are, but
yeah, her license doesn't expire until March 13th, 2021. So.
So it's not. That I'll get all those. You haven't done those, because you haven't done any. It sounds like. That's beside the point. The current violations we're looking at right now is item 4 of the consent agreement and item 5, the late payment of the city penalty. Do we need any discussion or motion to go into executive session for legal advice?
Motion to go into executive session. I second.
I
make the motion then. To go into executive session for legal advice.
I'll second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion is 3-0. We'll be right back. Oh, sorry, at 1:58.
Who seconded that one? I'm sorry.
I did.
Okay. Okay, we're recording.
Okay, we're back to regular session at 2:24. And we're on item, 7B1, Jamie Johnson. Okay, we'll open the floor for discussion.
Well, I guess, you know, my concern is not getting your things in as an outline. That's a major concern in any kind of a consent agreement or stuff. There's hard dates, so. So I have a concern about that.
And I share your concern as well. It's very serious, you know, that it impacts your livelihood. And so I guess there's an expectation that you would be meticulous about, because it does impact how you work and your earning capability.
On the other hand, I would like to say, though, that you did fulfill those. You did fulfill the requirements, even though they were late.
So. I think my thing is, I don't feel like you're taking us seriously by calling us the day before or the day of. It's kind of like it's kind of coming in and out. I don't feel like you're taking us seriously because you're calling us the day before. I mean, if I have a speeding ticket, I don't call the day before the fines due before I lose my driver's license. That's, or get, you know, out of bitch warrant or whatever the case may be. But I'm the only one that's licensed up here. So to me, I almost take it personally, because the way I do my information for my license is I have a folder for continuing ed. And this is just the basic stuff that we have to do. I have a paper physical folder for my continuing ed. I upload it on MBCOT for the tracker so that I can check what I've done each year. And then I have it in my head too, but I have extra copies digitally placed somewhere else. So, I mean, that's just how I manage my continuing ed, because this is how I pay my bills. It's extremely important to be aware. And for me, not, you know, I thought I signed that. I don't think anything when it comes to my license. I know. I know my license is due on December the 14th of 2020. That's when my next license is due. You guys can check that, see if I'm off by a date. But I mean, because that's how I pay my car, my mortgage, just to feed the kids. I'm not playing around with that. And that's how serious this is to me. And I feel like that's how it should be to you too. And by calling in the day before or even the same week, that's a board discussion. And that may not be something that you would know, but I would be finding out ahead of time. You know, it's like if it was in August for the civil penalty, signing that document, you said you thought you did that. That was the consent agreement. I can't say that I believe that, to be completely frank. So I feel like this is a very serious thing that you're just not taking serious.
Ms. Johnson, did you understand everything in the consent agreement when it was drafted and sent to you? You read it, did you?
I did, and I did think I signed it with everything the first time I was here.
Did you have anyone read over it with you, or to ensure that you understood everything that was outlined in the consent agreement?
I didn't have somebody sit there and read it to me, if that's what you're asking. I understood it, and I let life get in the way, and it's my mistake. I know the seriousness of it, and that I should have been on top of it more.
I mean, I'm open to an amendment for the current consent agreement. I think that we should offer a state suspension and then add the continuing ed and have the same timeline for the continuing education that we do. I'm open to discuss, you know, what kind of timeline for that suspension, and maybe you can help make sure we're articulating an accurate timeline for that.
Is that with the consolidation of the consent agreement?
Yeah, an amendment to the current consent agreement. So we would still be requiring 6 hours of continuing ed for ethics, 6 hours of continuing ed for Medicare regulation. She has, in fact, met the 4 and 5 criteria, so I don't think that we need to add that again, even though it wasn't met timely. We had requested that after it was past due.
So maybe we make the first motion to amend the current consent agreement.
So I think I'm understanding, like you want to, because you open a new complaint, right? So you're consolidating, you want to consolidate a new complaint with the consent agreement 18-OT0010. Is that what you meant? Or is that your intent?
Yes.
Okay. So you want to consolidate the non-compliance with the order with the already present consent agreement. Is that, am I understanding correctly?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. And so because of the late compliance with item in the order 2C and number 3, which is the civil penalty, because of the late compliance, you want to now offer an amended consent agreement with the same continuing education terms, but to include a stayed suspension. Would it be for the remainder of the probation period as per this consent agreement?
I think a 2-year suspension would be a little bit harsh.
Okay.
I'm willing to discuss something a little less, and then the remainder of that being on probation. So, if I understand this correctly, so the state suspension would be through March, and then if that was met, if that was satisfied, then there would be no suspension, so that would drop off.
Okay.
But if it was not fulfilled, then she would have a period of suspension to be discussed. So how would we craft that?
So I believe that as the current consent agreement reads, she would be on probation through March 14th, 2021. And Karen, correct me if I'm wrong.
Let me look at that letter again. That's correct. The current probation lasts until March 14th, 2021.
Okay. And so if you're concerned as to whether or not she is going to comply timely with the continuing education, then you can decide the continuing education, I believe, is due March 14th, 2020, pursuant to the terms of the consent agreement and order. So if you want to make sure she complies timely with that and you want to make it consistent with your state suspension, it's up to you. You can have it through March or April or May. It's up to you, the time.
So we would do it beyond the continuing ed date, so that if it wasn't met, okay. I definitely think that the remainder of the probation is excessive. I would think that 3 months or 2 months would be a reasonable suspension period if the continuing ed criteria hasn't been met.
I agree with that.
So what this means is, if you're offering another proposed consent agreement, is that she's already agreeing through the consent agreement to a state suspension. Therefore, if she does not comply timely, she's automatically suspended, and then she has to be brought back before the board for a formal hearing, you know, to address that state suspension.
Oh, okay. And the whole picture is addressed. Okay.
Okay.
So we would want to do it to the next day, or the day of the continuing ed to be completed?
Whatever you think is best.
I want to...
And maybe consult with Karen Whiteford, as she's going to monitor the compliance. Did you have some type of administrative preference?
I would just prefer that it be the day after or sometime after that, not the same day.
Just so it can be monitored?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The day after 3/14/2020?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But if she's, you know, if she does not comply on 3/15/2019, you want that suspension to be stayed. Right? So you don't want to end it at a specific time. Maybe I'm not making myself clear.
I need to go back into my communication.
Sorry.
I would want it to go into active suspension for non-compliance.
Okay.
That's why I was thinking that it should be.
And would that be as of 3/15, since you're saying a day after?
Well, what you're doing is, with the consent agreement that you're choosing to offer, is that she's suspended, but it stayed for a specific period of time. So you're setting that period of time for that state suspension. Once it ends, and she defaults to probation. Doesn't default to state suspension.
Okay. So we would be able to put a clause in there as of 3:15, if that hasn't been met, then there will be a suspension period of 60 days or 30 days or 45 days or whatever. Maybe I'll make a motion to go into executive session. Sorry. I thought I understood.
Need a timeline. You need a timeline.
Executive session for legal advice.
For legal advice, correct.
Mr. McAllister.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
We went into executive session again at 2:35.
Okay, we are recording again.
We're returning to regular session at 2:47. Okay. Again, on item 7B, I, Shaylee Johnson, open up the discussion again.
Mr. Chairman, before we went into executive session, we were discussing consolidating and the issues and amending the current consent agreement.
Yes. So what I was discussing was doing this date suspension for a certain period of time, continuing the 6 + 6 CEUs for Medicare, make sure I get my words correct here, Medicare regulation billing, and the ethics.
Should we share what the state suspension would mean?
Yes, a state suspension doesn't mean that you're suspended. It means you can still work. Okay. So what that would mean is that if on 3/14, if you don't complete this continuing education, at that time you would be suspended.
Okay.
And then we would have a formal hearing, is that correct?
Well, she'd be automatically suspended if
right.
she chooses to continue.
And then she'd have to come before the board.
And then she'd have to come back before the board.
And then you'd have to come back before the board. That's all.
I'd come back if I don't do it and
correct.
Get suspended.
Correct.
But if I do that and turn that to you before the time being, then everything just goes on until 21.
Still on probation.
It's on probation. Yeah. Okay.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So, That was what I was thinking. I was thinking of a state suspension until June. The
March 14, 2020.
No.
No.
Okay.
July. What about July?
July. Yeah.
2020.
And what that would mean. So listen very carefully, please. If we do a state suspension until July, and you don't do your continuing ed by March, you're automatically suspended, and then you go through a process for a hearing. Okay, so you'd be suspended for X amount of time. We would hear the complaint, and then the decision of what would happen next would be completely different. That doesn't mean you'd be suspended until July or June or whatever the case may be. But the reason why I'm saying June or July, and Charlene mentioned July, is because if for some reason you can't get that done and you can communicate that before the day it's due, I personally can't speak for these guys, but I would be willing to give you an extension of 30 days or something like that to complete these. So I'm giving you a margin of error, but I'm not playing around. That's me. That's just me. That's not these guys. We haven't voted on anything. Okay. But so my motion would be to consolidate the consent agreement for the non-compliance. I don't think that an additional civil penalty is necessary or beneficial. We would continue the 6 hours of continuing education for Medicare billing and ethics. So that's 6 and 6, a total of 12, exactly the state and your current
consent agreement.
Okay. So the only thing we're changing would be that state suspension, and I would say July.
Mr. Chairman, 14th. I recommend July 14th of 2020.
I would agree with that. Barbara, do you have anything to say in regards to that?
Not at this time.
Okay. So my motion is to consolidate the current consent agreement for compliance, include a state suspension until July
the 14th of 2020 and keep the continuing ed that's already stated in there. The same probation period would expire as stated in the current agreement.
Okay. One question. Can we ensure that July 14th is not a weekend for the record?
It is a Sunday, so...
Oh, we'll no. July 14th?
2020.
July, 20? I was looking at the wrong.
It's a Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Okay.
I was looking at June, sorry. So the motion would be to amend the current consent agreement and consolidate for non-compliance, include a state suspension until July the 14th, continue the 6 hours of continuing education and ethics, the 6 hours of continuing education and Medicare regulation billing that would still be due on March the 14th. And the state suspension would expire, as I said, on July the 14th. Do I have a second to the motion?
Of 2020.
2020, yes. Do I have a second to the motion?
I second.
All in favor, roll call vote, please. Gwendolyn Councillor, aye.
Charlene Marbs, aye.
Barbara Paulson, nay.
Motion carries 2-1. Do you have any questions?
Well, I'm sorry, for the recording, Ms. Paulson?
I can tell you. In my opinion, I feel the state suspension is punitive and not warranted. Ms. Johnston did comply with the requirements, although they were late. We will be continuing to monitor her in the current complaint agreement because she's on probation. And I am hopeful that Ms. Johnston, through conversations here today, now realizes how serious this is with this consent agreement and will fulfill it without, as it's written now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So to be clear, nothing changes as long as you do your continuing ed by March the 14th. If you're getting to February and you feel like you can't get it done for some reason, come and please talk to us. Okay. Articulate what's going on and how, okay? Because we can open this up to extend that, I understand, right? So we can extend that a month or something like that, but I want to open up that dialogue versus calling us on the day before. So nothing should change as long as those are fulfilled. But if you don't do it on that date, you don't talk with us, it goes into automatic suspension.
And just as a helpful tool, you have a smartphone?
Yeah.
So using that calendar option to give yourself reminders 30 days about what you need to do can be helpful, since we tend to have our smartphones with us quite a bit. That could be a helpful tool for you to use.
Are you UMBC certified?
No, I let it lapse, but with doing all of these hours and stuff, I'm gonna get back with it. So I will start using that thing that you were talking about. Yeah, because I used it the last time and it did help.
It is really
good. It's easy to keep track of everything.
Then there's CEU broker.
CEU broker.
That's set up, correct? So that's something that she could sign up for as well.
Yes, that's actually free. The courses are not, but access to the system is free.
CEU broker, and they talk to us? They talk to our license now? Is that?
They do that, not talk to our system, but we have access, and we can see a snapshot at any time of what CEs have been done.
Okay. So that's another good way to do that, okay?
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate this opportunity, and I will take it for granted. I definitely learned from it, so thank you. I really appreciate your patience with me and just giving me this opportunity. So thank you.
Thank you for coming in. Safe travels home.
Thank you.
Okay. 7B2 is Megan Kaiser.
Mr. Chair, on the investigation report, I did not include the latest development, which was a statement from Ms. Kaiser from October of this year, where she submitted continuing education and the letter to her supervisor that was required, but they were late, and she also turned in her license.
So she forfeited her license, is that what I understand?
Yes, but it would still have to go through the adjudication process. We can't just take it back and pretend like this never happened.
Right, she'd have to actually surrender it, is that correct?
She could surrender, I believe, through consent agreement. Might be treated as revocation.
The statement that I referred to is on page 55 of your meeting materials. And the documents that she sent with that are in the following pages.
I read that she had closed her license, but I didn't realize that she was... How are you open to inviting her in to discuss this further before we make any actions? Any other discussion?
I'm sorry. You want a conversation with
her? Yeah, I think I would like to invite her in.
Mr. Chair, that's definitely your option. It has been extremely difficult to get in touch with Ms. Kaiser. She was invited to this meeting, and she chose to not be here. But if you would like to give it another shot, then we can invite her.
I know she seemed to make her intention very clear in this October letter. See you.
Well, no, I've heard it, but
okay.
If we still have to go through the process of the complaint, I mean, is her intention, was her intention to surrender the license, or we've had that happen once before with the...
I'm going with her mailing it in along with her wallet card that would be saying...
Would that...
And that's what she did.
She did.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. So is that different than an actual surrender in lieu of?
You know, Mr. Chair, I'd have to take a closer look here at the statutes, but I believe that, you know, she's free to surrender her license. It would need to be done through a consent agreement for revocation, though, and so she'd be admitting to. There's no just kind of voluntary relinquishment without, you know, a formal hearing, or if she wants to agree to it.
But technically, her license is active until it's...
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's not her renewal, as well.
Thank you. Right, she still has a license that's on probation.
What you could do, Mr. Chairman, is you could make a motion to open a complaint and offer her a consent agreement for... voluntary revocation of her license through a consent agreement and see if she responds. And if she doesn't, then the matter can come back before the board, and then you can move it to formal hearing, and then a formal process will be gone through.
But she has already turned in her license saying that she doesn't want to practice.
And that's her discretion,
yeah,
to not practice.
But if somebody looks her up online right now, it still shows that she has an active license.
Yeah, that's a symbolic gesture, not a formal.
Yeah. And a revocation would be permanent.
That would be permanent. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's free to reapply at an appropriate time, but... Or you could just vote to open a complaint and invite her in. That's also an option.
I'd be much more comfortable with inviting her in.
I would too.
I'm going
to make that motion of that. I'd like to complain and matter it again.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries 3-0. they may agree on something.
Or maybe we can even get her via phone.
Yeah.
Is that a challenge you do?
Okay, so it was Ms. Marbs that seconded that, correct?
Yes.
3-0, okay.
All right. Seven C, Laura, come on down.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Really expected.
Sure, that was. I would like to request a modification of my consent agreement regarding the frequency of the...
I'm sorry, could you state your name for the recording, please?
I'm sorry, Laura Holting.
Thank you.
Okay, so again, I'd like to request modification to the consent agreement regarding frequency of the random monthly drug and alcohol tests as well as meeting attendance. So I have, coming up on 2 years of sobriety, I've completed the 6 hours of ethics continuing ed, the required counseling, have submitted to the 3 tests per month, which have all come back negative, and attended weekly meetings. Just asking for a reduction in those mandatory testing and meetings.
Okay. What were you thinking? Did you have a...
My counselor and mentor was requesting one drug and alcohol test per month and 2 meetings per month.
This makes sense to me.
simply the fact that I kind of understand where you're coming from, where we're tapering things off because we're in a good place, we're moving forward. You know, you have followed the items and things like that. So that's kind of my perspective. I have no problem amending those. I think that's a pretty reasonable thing. We still got, we're still continuing on with the
accountability.
Yeah.
I think Ms. Holding's request is very reasonable.
So would this be an amendment of a consent agreement, basically?
Yes, and the consent agreement states she's free to request
right. A
modification right. At appropriate time, and she's done that. So
I mean, even you could have done that a few months ago.
Yeah, six months ago.
Right, yeah.
And she waited. So, yeah. You know, it would just be, we do it through a consent agreement, that she would sign it, and she would know that. So you're reducing, if I'm understanding this correctly, the request is one time per month for the task drug testing, and then under B and C of the consent agreement, you're just requesting an elimination of...
I don't know what the B and C are. I don't have it.
It was twice per month of the recovery meetings.
That's correct.
Okay.
So there is any other discussion or a motion?
I do have a question. So is there a cost for the meetings, for you to attend the meetings?
No.
The support meetings?
Well, I believe I had to appear to have any kind of modification to my consent agreement. Is that right?
No, my question is, the meetings that you are attending for support, is there a cost to those as well?
Oh, a cost to those, no.
And it's part of your request to eliminate?
No, not eliminate, no. Just reduce the mandatory, because really it's about a way of life. It's about living in community with people, and I interact with people in my group on a daily basis. So just instead of making it mandatory for the sake of going to the meeting for the sake of a meeting, I pretty much am doing that anyway.
Would you be more comfortable with three times versus four, or do you have...
For the meetings?
Correct.
Yeah, three times.
And she can request a modification any period, is that... Or, if we decide on this now, would we have to wait another 6 months?
I think it's every 6 months.
It's every 6 months.
Okay.
Or you can just take it one at a time and just see what you all agree on.
The reason that I say that is because my meeting is once a week, and there are occasions where I have to miss my meeting because of work. So I go to an alternative meeting like AA or Celebrate Recovery, which is not the same. And basically, I'm attending it for the sake of attending it. I really don't really get anything out of it. And that's the only reason that I ask for that too.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
All right, where are we?
I think two is very reasonable. If you're out of town, I don't know when the meetings are, but it's irrelevant if I decide to go out of town twice in 1 month for some reason. Or I would be obliged to adjust it to twice a month versus four times.
Agree. Make a motion.
Make a motion.
Board members, would you speak into your microphones, please?
Yes, please. Do I hear a motion?
My job. I'll make a motion to amend the consent agreement to two meetings a month and testing once a month. Everything else staying the same. Do I have a second?
I will second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Roll call.
Please.
Councillor, aye.
Oh. Barbara Paulson, aye.
Charlie Marks, nay. I would like to see the drug testing remain as twice a month, along with the meetings as twice a month.
It was three times a month for the drug testing.
Three times a month. So twice a month for the drug testing.
Okay, thank you. The motion passed.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Renee. All right. We're on item 8, agenda items for next month. So I noticed that the license changed. They took our names off.
Yes.
I don't like that. So I don't have to discuss that.
So when we put your names on the license, that means that the board looked at the list and approved it. And we need to put this on the agenda for next month. There is another way of doing it where you ratify it at a following meeting, or we issue temporary licenses. So let me put it on the agenda and give you some options next month.
And we have no public anymore. The call of the public, no. Let's say we adjourn this meeting at 3:12 then.
Good, because I ran out of paper.
Yeah.
I thought this was done.